some may go down, the signal isn't that low to prevent somebody from cutting their back as a result of this income rather than spending it.
Well, that's a tough case to make either way as to whether they will or won't, you know, whether it will or won't affect property taxes. But it's some states are ceiling on property taxes.
The revenue sharing costs.
No, because
in
some cases,
everywhere in the country,
not in some cases, they just put it all sparser. Yeah, and in some states, property taxes is at the maximum, so it could go up anyway. You know, constitution. So you get a wide variety of variation.
How does the taxpayer feel every time he can?
It works. It's not in a lot of states right now. It's called the circuit breaker.
You see, it's a start of property tax. That's what I mean.
Start, and it starts with the group whose income is likely to be, you know, stable income.
It is.
Dollar terms.
I don't have, the 50% reduction.
You and I.
There are two having suggestions. I think it's a pretty good way to get at it. There are two disadvantages, I think. One is that if this principle, what started, is extended further and further as the basic method for solving the problem, then what we have done is provide an incentive for property taxes as far as local governments are concerned. Because they can say, look, you're not paying it, you deduct it from your federal income tax, and it's a full credit. So that in effect, the federal government is going to take up whatever property tax is assessed, so we might as well assess a lot. So I think it has that. I think it's a good thought when restricted to a group that you can identify and manage that isn't too big. As a general principle for the whole problem, I think it has that major.
Now, another way you can do it is just to not argue this.
Because
you understand,
important to get across is tax reform has very little money in it. When you think about it in terms of the tax shelter business, that it's an equity proposition, not a money proposition. A government gets his money by the taxes on business and the cap taxes on capital gains. That's where all the money is.
The latter is.
And there we, investment tax credit and the asset depreciation rate and so on, that is what we specifically advocated last year and the Congress passed, and we're in favor of that.
Absolutely.
And it's working.
Well, because, as I understand it, this program would be disastrous for the economy.
I got a little conflict of interest here because I'm sort of on the line out here as of this afternoon, but what I said to these birds was the tax reform doesn't necessarily mean tax increase. We've been used to that because that's what the Democrats, when they say tax increase, they mean tax increase.
That's what we should say.
That we can affect a reallocation of federal resources through a number of different devices without raising taxes.
Yeah, but I'm a running keeper. Let's say, well, why don't you tell us before the election just what you plan to do?
And I say that we're not like the government. We don't advance half baked ideas.
We've been at it for years.
And we've been at this one now about 18 months, and when it's ready, we'll advance it.
But not
in terms of saying what you want to do, you can make the statement that you do not plan to increase taxes without committing to reform.
The minimum tax is reform, and if that is going to be our tax as far as the tax shelter type thing is concerned, well to say that.
But it isn't new. We have it. It's all you're doing is adjusting the rate. So it really isn't too bad.
Well, they did, but only it's a question of degree.
Now, let me suggest this. What about the Freedom proposal? Are you aware of this approach of our peers and our mutual friend on Freedom? Now, that is real.
Okay. That one I like better.
Yeah. Putting that up.
What is fiscal dividend? This is a proposal to... factor into the tax system the result of inflation. So instead of having Congress do it periodically,
not just inflation, but also a part of the growth.
Right? You can do it in a variety of ways, including part of the growth.
Let me go to Art. The reason I think you ought to be for that is that you talked about this long ago. We have got to stop the rise of the growth of government, right? But I just like the idea of, frankly, having a restraint. The more you have in taxes, the more you're going to spend. They'll say, how are we going to this money? You got it in the bank, we're going to spend. But if your taxes automatically come down, they're going to cost increase money.
Well, either the taxes come down or you earmark it.
For some other purpose.
For the real property. That then meets all of our criteria. We say we're going to realize
like revenue share.
$7 billion a year.
Like for example, take an example of what would be a sort of outside figure that you could say there.
That if you assume a 3% inflation rate,
right,
and you assume a real growth rate of
3%,
say, yeah, don't count the population increase.
Right.
So you've got 6% there, and considering the fact that you're escalating through the brackets, that translates probably into something on the order of 7%, and you've got a $93 billion personal income tax take. So you're in the neighborhood of $6 to $7 billion.
So make it five.
That's the way you would
see what I mean. Our thing is, you could say we are going to have that as a new principle. I mean, I like the idea of a new principle. Rather than having the increase that comes from inflation automatically increase the size of government, we see a 5 billion here, 5 billion the next year, 5 billion the next year.
Let me give two contrary arguments within the framework that I like this idea.
Because the cost of government also.
Well, one argument is that we're having one awful time financing the spending even after we squeeze it down. Nobody seems to know where it's coming from, and everybody is a lot of talk about tax increase and so forth. So this is a tax cut. And it means that we have to find that money in the program somehow or other. There's going to have to be a lot of rough stuff done in order to get this property tax relief out. That's one argument. Second argument is that apparently we're planning on a 3% inflation rate or some percent inflation rate. And we are, particularly as we build it into the property tax, we're saying in order to do this for the property tax, we have to have this inflation rate.
Why not?
We're going to find
out. Take it together.
But it's a compensating argument. Because if you don't have inflation, then property taxes are not going to go up as much. If you do have it, then they need this relief. So they're linked.
They wouldn't say difficult, right? Anytime. You should be aware of. That is that if you adjust income tax rates for inflation, you help to institutionalize inflation.
Well, we don't do that.
No, if you do, it's like Social Security. You have no automatic escalator.
But
I don't want Social Security. I'm talking economics, not politics. Politics is just really,
let's see what your assumption is. Do you assume that we're going to adjust rates?
Well, you have to.
No.
You have to look at the Freedom proposal at once.
No, as I understand it, it doesn't. It's without any adjustment of rates.
You see, if you have to give a structure,
income tax rates. With inflation, your real income tax rate is going up all the time.
Right.
The only way you can correct for that is to
reduce taxes.
Yeah.
Well, this assumes
which means reduction in taxes.
This assumes no reduction in taxes. This assumes the real effect that you described, but without any mechanical adjustment of rates at all. Well, there are very there are all sorts of ways in which you could make this adjustment, and that is something that we are working on and when one has to think through. What has happened historically is that Congress has periodically done this with the result that you keep the personal income tax rate at around 10%.
It's a disturbing
reduce rates. They're periodically reduced rates. The way they have reduced them has always been to reduce the low end of the scale and to leave the high bracket up there. They reduce the exemptions or something. So you might, there are all sorts of ways in which you could calibrate this in order to sort of speak to everybody's
under the present system, the way it works, when the Congress did nothing, and if the tax structure comes out, what if inflation the real tax rate would keep on going? Now, if you try to
this has the advantage of being $5 billion a year, which we can earmark, that does not involve a, quote, increase in taxes, unquote, in the political sense. And that's what I had in mind about when I was making those answers in there about various alternatives. As I rather mysteriously said, I don't know how to do this without increasing taxes.
Nothing very significant is going to happen in this area. What is troublesome is
drive up anywhere.
No. Yep. They're not there yet, but you know, on Sunset,
quickly, once they start rising, the mortgage interest rate area.
Well, if you got to squeeze out.
And that's where you're going to get squeezed.
Well, you don't have to worry about housing because the Savings and Loan Association, the Savings Bank, is flooded. And while I think its rates have been rising of late on short term market instruments, the mortgage interest rate has been increasing.
That's the one.
And it's going to be pretty hard for the time. But I'll tell you where I am. I'm worried about the prime rate. And, Mr. President, I am worried about the discount rate. You've got to know this. The pressure is building up within the Federal Reserve System. I am knocking it down. See, I've had two applications. And normally, we get an application for an increase in the discount rate. Well, we sit on it. This time, we had an application from Kansas City, and we knocked it down that very day behind a divided board, but I carried it. Now, next, we have an application from the Boston Bank. We knocked that down the same day, and I had a unanimous board this time. But whether I can continue to hold that bank, I'm going to make my best effort. I'm going to make my best effort. I even think I'll succeed, but I can't promise you that I will.
I understand.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question? I didn't get Milton Friedman's theory presented as well as possible. I'd like for him to send a little sheet in on it. Could he do that after articles?
He should have done that, yeah.
But I mean, now he's got to be down in Kent because we can't have all this thing. Make a nice little speech about it. I'll look here. How do you describe this darn thing? And how does he answer it?
Well, we will... We have taken it further than he has already,
in
the sense of trying to figure out precisely how you would do it. But we'll get him to state this well, and I'll get him down here. I'd like to bring him in to see you the next time he comes.
Sure.
And let
him
talk
about
that.
Very useful, because he's in the stick of his mind. And you see, the one thing I do like to understand, I can see the building inflation, I can see the problem, the budget, and all the rest. But believe me, George, any restraint that we have on the size of even ourselves, you know. I know you've got the OMB and all the rest of your now in Treasury, and it's a horrible problem for the rest. But believe it's a good thing for us to have restraints on what we can spend. Or we'll spend up in the hill. Right up. We'll always spend up in the hill. And
Congress will.
And Congress will, that's right. They'll you get it even kind of if we have it. Get real lucky and have any kind of a little bit more in and out, which is going to happen next year or the year, the spending. And my view is that it's good to be restrained from the spending. I just don't like to see government grow bigger than it needs to. I like government to be as big as it needs to, but no bigger. You agree with that, don't you? You used to say in 68, when we changed the tax to be too high, remember? All right. Well, we cut it, but not enough, right?
Well, Mr. President, the government expenditures on all levels in 1971 accounted for 36% of the dollar value of this country's output at the time, and taxes accounted for 34%.
That's right.
It's not.
I'm not saying McGovern's plan puts it over 50%. Anyway, I mean his tax, not just the welfare, but the whole scheme.
Calculation of the cost of this proposal.
Got a paragraph.
Well, but you see, I would like
to borrow a copy of that.
I would like to see CAC put out a weekly announcement. It comes solely from you or political people, here is the budget director, it's his technical responsibility.
Not a bad idea. So why don't you try it? John.
Good thing.
Exactly. What?
Hatch.
Well, I wrote this up this morning through the Republican leadership, and we attributed it to the research people at the RNC and the committee for elections and the problems. But what happens is this becomes doctrine. So you put it on a piece of paper, it becomes true. It happens to be true. Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to attribute it. We're going to use on it. No, I get that. That's a claim. Getting back to the tax thing, John, do you share Rob's view that even this adjustment in equity would be considered to be a tax increase?
Yeah, it's funny. It has to be very simple, very clear cut. One of the reasons that McGovern is slipping, I think, is that he's fuzzy. People don't know what he stands for.
Well, he's changed so much. He's three different plans.
We stand for, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of heads nodding in there. They said, well, you know, this is very political. You're coming out with this at this time. I said, no, wait a minute. The president was in Russia. And Brookings came out with their report. You remember, we went over at the NOB and we had a press conference and we said, no tax increase for this administration. And it all out of their heads. Yes, they remember that. Thank you. So we have our foundation laid a long time back. Simple, clear cut, categorical, no tax increase. Unless the Congress goes crazy.
Well, we're doing our darnest to be open.
Sure.
But then can I ask one question while these folks are here? On the water bill that was brought up this morning. You still veto?
You're going to get rolled on a veto. You will not be sustained.
But if the amount is a little less than mine, then
yes, it's considerably cleaned up from what it was before the recent.
What we're talking about, Arthur, is a water pollution bill. And we have one. You know, we put it in. These makers have raised the price. But more importantly, they have some terrible provisions that they put too much of a burden on the industry. But I understood, according to Ford, they cleaned a lot of that up.
They have cleaned that up a little bit. They have not cleaned it up as much as he represented to you this morning.
What's your view, George?
I haven't looked into the details of what they have done with it, but I think that would be a pretty tough thing to be done.
What do you think, Arthur? Here I am. I agree with you. Preempted the environment issue. And frankly, I'm for clean water. That's why I think it's a lousy issue. Lousy when it's done wrong. It ought to be done when you shouldn't doubt about the damn issue and drive business up the wall.
People I talk to, maybe the wrong people, Mr. President. People I talk to are business people, financial people, and also my neighbors in Vermont, and they think that this environmental thing is being overdone and is losing our sense of proportion.
Yeah, I have
no doubt about that, and I think that is beginning
to go. I have always said that, caught a whole change.
I think this would capture an important note in thinking around the country.
But we get rolled on the veto.
No, I don't know what he should have known. I don't know. I couldn't remember. I haven't followed.
This, of course, this is a...
This bill is another involved. It doesn't go as far as the, for example, what we've done to those auto companies. We rolled that back. We saved for it.
Well, we saved them on a technicality. They were in a technical violation. We saved them, but we've been very tough on their quality.
You might have to go into this platinum expense.
No. It's not a substitute, as a matter of fact,
Arthur. Yeah, sure.
Technology is catching up to
the GM people have told me that Bell system announcement was quite premature. And
did you get the material I sent you on that short time ago?
Yeah.
Anyway, the water quality, that's an authorization. And
wait, but right, and it requires a contract authority.
It's contract authority, that's authorized. And the question of how much is actually spent will depend upon how much Ruckelshaus or whoever is over there is allowed to spend. And what, and
you think there will be some control? Not a potential. Well, I'm going with the OMB people now. They say I'll go right out the door regardless of any respect that the president would like that. Well, let me do this, John, so that I don't come up and have to decide this in the wee hours of the morning. You better, I'd like to take a new look at it. I've been all prepared to veto it, okay? But I don't want to veto the bill and get rolled. Well, I'm not mad at it, but I have, well, why have the worst of both worlds?
Work out after John and I have talked. We talked earlier with George, who represents what our needs.
together again. My meeting, like I said, and I like to run that by a cop. My feeling is that if you do that, it's not tax increase. My feeling is that if what you do is simply adjust within the current tax levels, in other words, they look, they're going to take a little away from these rich people, give the old folks. That to me is not a tax increase. But I may be wrong.
This is the way I feel. Otherwise, what are you saying? This is a sacred cow. We're going to stand still. The whole world is changing. Are we going to stand still? We have a high income system. Can't we invest in the world in the interest of it without changing the overall average tax rate?
Mr. President, we will bring you for this meeting today. Material about the minimum tax and what might
right.
be done with it and who it hits, what brackets, that kind of thing. We'll bring you a statement about the various ways in which the Friedman idea might be handled,
right.
the amounts of money,
right.
and how it could be done,
and
the technicalities of what could be done.
And tax credit.
And then we'll bring
what
you
it would cost.
Material on the property tax business and
I like
the
tax credit
the calibration.
See, tax credits to offset.
That's
rate increase in the minimum tax.
That's right.
We'd be able to cover that.
Let the record show that tax reform was never discussed with Dr. Burns' presence. He was only present in discussions of monetary
rate,
oh, yes.
Particularly international monetary problems. We're very vague about
this. Well, monetary problems obviously increase.
Could we, on the announcement of
the international,
well, could we give that a little thought? I don't know. We should tell him directly before we announce it.
We haven't been invited yet.
No, you've been invited to give a welcoming address, and so we can. But let us take a little time to figure out exactly how to do that.
It isn't all that big anyway. It's just the point is this later.
Oh, it would be a big piece of news in the U.S. because they didn't expect it to
play. We have discussed it. This will play it up, so if you do it Monday or Tuesday, it's fine. What you have in mind to keep that with people will be fine up to date. But for your information, I will make a major speech before I have the 24th of the month. I'm not early, so I'm going to rethink this tax.
I did that in April. I don't know about that year, so it's so complicated.
No,
so
you'll be able to do that. Those are not expensive. That somebody was found a way. Given has the ceiling. The first one ever made the ceiling. And how it takes out of the game. There's some pictures in the body. Good luck. Thanks, Arthur. What did you get your copy?
Well, I've got a copy.
Take another one for 1 year. Exactly. You lost your CD.
Tax increase, we want tax reform, is a good line to get across.
What
that tax reform is due.
I'm not sure, Ron. I'm not sure if you're going to want to sleep on the PR standpoint. If we did, for example, I want my 69 proposal, then Congress would act on that. I'll take that money, get a tax credit to hold over the property. But no increase. I think that might vote. You don't think so?
Well, I express my point there.
I know, I don't.
I think it depends on how things play out today and how far we can walk into that. I think it's very, it's very safer to say, it's always safer to say that most of the people that were taking taxes from us are facing a lot.
Well, this is not compensatory, of course. We're going to do it just they ought to pay a little more. Oh, 20%. It's not much. We'll check it out. You're following the plan that we've laid out on. Making a great deal out of the fact I'm busy as hell.
No, absolutely. We have
desire to have time run around with you. My head cut off. You're receiving ambassadors and having artists tell us, find out if I was in here with my sister.
Sure, we're doing it.
Absolutely. And we give all the names out. Early. So forth.
And we're doing every time they come. Like yesterday, kids do about 5 times or 20 minutes. The one with the firebox.
We did it for President George, though.
We did it with the firebox.
You hear about that? They got a new buggy.
Wait, where?
That really is almost the best break we've had in the case.
Democrats
need to buck the Democrats. Gene West was the National Democratic Chairman.
Yeah.
Calling to the press announced that she had discovered a box, a red box, out in the hallway of the Democratic Committee headquarters in the Watergate. And it was a box, and there were some men working on it, and there were a lot of wires in it. And she said to the men, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're installing the fire alarm." And she said, "What fire alarm? We didn't order one." And they said, "Well, the fire alarm was supposed to put in or something." So she went running back to her office and called the fire department and said, "Are you putting the fire alarm in my office?" And they said, "No, ma'am." And so then she called the Watergate and said, "Are you putting a fire alarm in my office?" And they said, "No, ma'am." And then she went out to see what was happening. The men weren't there anymore. So she took the box out of the hall and ran down to Edward Bennett Williams with it. Said, "Here's a box. They're bugging me again."
What the hell is it?
It's a bug. Nobody knows. It's a box with a lot of wires. A red box with a lot of wires.
Oh, we know damn well not anybody did. I didn't think somebody did.
I wouldn't be too sure. Maybe we sent someone over.
Now, if you get the press flag, well, make sure they're not charging that to us.
No, she's just saying, "We've been bugged again, we think."
Larry O'Brien called her Richmond today.
Did he? Yeah. About that?
No, it's the end of her deposition.
Oh.
Not for
you. No, he's going to call everybody who should have done. I'd call you here. That's why I don't consider you to tell us. You told us that's up in here.
I mentioned the president of the Hoffman.
They turned it off for denied it. Pretty low his fastball if you like it.
It's such a dopey kind of thing that it sort of adds to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Makes a joke out of it.
We had one of them on hand. The Home Builders Association, which is the small home builders, small business guys in the home builders business, are so enamored of the stupendous job that the Nixon administration has done in carrying out the mandate of Congress on the home building thing, that they want to have a series of dinners around the country, out of which they expect to,
they will recommit to raise $1 million for the president's campaign. And they want to want an audio, not just an audio, they insist on an audio, a film, tape, film, picture thing of the president speaking to them on what a great job the nation's home building industry has done.
We don't need $1 million for to take that risk. That's my super. Just tell Maury that or whoever it is.
That's your hands and Romney vote.
It's just too dangerous.
One of the Romneys that will be brought
up. Well, it's just too damn dangerous for me to be involved in raising money from a private interest directly. I'd love to do it, but I just can't. I just think it's dangerous.
Should we turn that on audio tape too?
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
I will not engage, I cannot engage. I can do it in
fundraising for an industry.
I can do it, but if I go to any industry where for fundraising, I'll give over their convention or something, I would do it. But a series of vendors like this, just I'd be very honest with you, it would look like a straight day off. We're making something out of a government statement with teachers.
Yeah.
He said I'll save the home voters. I'm just not gonna do it. Great idea, we appreciate it.
Yeah. I think that's the best position to be in. I have a feeling they'll go ahead and do it anyway. They say they won't, but I think they will. I don't think they think we have the guts to turn down $1 million. But I think we should. Henry has been selected
man of the year.
The family of man of the Council of Churches of the City of New York, man of the year.
Don't do it.
Now that's, I think, remember,
I insulted
Whitney Young, remember? Was the who's they saw?
I remember it was the Maiden thing or something.
They selected you in 69.
They had a horrible son of a bitch in charge of
the office
didn't go.
And that
there let me tell you what it is. It's a fundraising gimmick.
Yeah.
But Henry will have to do it.
I don't think he should, because he is not being given the Golden Medallion Award, which is their real that's what you got.
Right.
He's just being given a bronze award.
No. Turn it down. And incidentally, that's White House backer, he should turn it down. That's the point.
The other thing is, it's a real insult to him, in my view, because the Gold Award, which is the big thing, is being given to Ray Schaefer for his contribution to mankind as chairman of the Drug Abuse Commission.
Never.
For Henry Kissinger, by second fiddle to Ray Schaefer.
Just tell Henry, he just can't do it because he can only be number one. Incidentally, I was going to take the Sequoia out of order. I mean, you free.
Yeah.
Who else could we get? We might get Colson, McGregor, or anybody. I have to leave by the way, about 6 o'clock on this morning. So it would be nice to catch you before the season runs out.
Okay.
You could come Irwin might be good.
McGregor's not here.
Irwin's got his probably family problems.
No, I don't think so. Yes.
Well, I don't want to climb what we had in mind. He doesn't have anything in those categories. When I say he doesn't, he's just a empty bench.
Bob's not here at all times.
Darn.
This is good. Great one to do with that.
Colson is always, we see him a lot, but he's always interested.
Sequoia this evening, last night. you go meet over at the boat at 6:15, I'd be leaving here. He's got a car. Yeah, yeah. Okay, very good.
You want to check with him and to grab a car in the next 5 minutes or so. He's over at the dock at about 6:15. I think that's it. No, general discussion of the outlook. Okay. Bring along your pole material. Any interesting stuff you guys are talking about?
Garmin going, and I'm going to try and catch Steve Cannon. Well, check the garage, see if we can grab a car, get everybody over to lunch or something. In a few minutes. Okay? Right. You can, please, show up. Fisher, you know, that's an accomplishment in itself. We get Max Fisher working like a son of a bitch and not having to bother with it very much. I catch him once every, about once a month, and Henry catches him about once a month, is all I think now.
Have you seen Henry today? Where the hell is he now?
He had a verification meeting or something this afternoon, one of his I assume it was verification because I saw Dick Helms and Jerry Smith and Ken Rush and all kinds of military people with AIDS.
Well, I think I've never heard of that. It's by Roger Stokes. Over that. I didn't see that one. I went.